Today's study is so interesting and helpful that I'm not going to waste any time on preliminary remarks. I'll say only that the discussion opened, as usual, with one of Nettie's many records. This time it was Bob Seamount singing, "Peace That My Savior Has Given."
Like the fragrance of flowers, like the soft summer showers, is the peace that my Savior has given. Like the dews of the morning, all the hillsides adorning, is the peace that my Savior has given. Peace that my Savior has given. Peace that he sendeth from heaven. As high as the mountains and deep as the sea is the peace Jesus gives to me.
Shall we pray? Gracious Father, our hearts are bubbling over with love and gratitude for the many blessings that Thou hast so generously showered upon us, unworthy as we are. Help us, O God, to grow in grace, abound in Thy Spirit, and learn to love Thee with a deep, everlasting love. And at last, dear Father, glorify us in Thy kingdom, for we pray in the precious name of Jesus and for His sake. I've been thinking, even praying about the subject for tonight. At first I thought we'd talk on the subject of prayer. And then I got to thinking, we've touched on prayer so often in connection with other subjects that I decided maybe we shouldn't occupy an entire evening on prayer. And then the thought came to me that prayer is the lifeline of a Christian, and I...
Like the air hose is the lifeline of a deep-sea diver?
Well, yes, Carl. And even though the diver may know all about getting down to the ocean floor and back up again, unless he has those life-sustaining lines, while down there, he never will get up alive. Likewise, a Christian may know how to be a Christian, how to be saved, and all the other essentials of a Christian life. And yet, if he does not have a prayer line connecting him with heaven, his Christian experience will wilter and die. His knowledge and beliefs will avail him nothing.
So we are going to discuss prayer tonight.
We are.
I'm glad, Uncle Julius, because I think that prayer is one thing that most of us need to know more about and use more often.
The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That's found in James 5:16. Please read it, Carl.
James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much.
Will prayer actually heal people, Uncle Julius? Make them well?
You just heard what Carl read from the Bible.
One hears of such things happening, but... Well, I've never known anyone who was ever actually healed.
I've known of a good many such cases, Carl. And if we have time, I may tell the story of one of them.
Well, let's hurry up and get through. I love your story.
We'll hurry as fast as we can. In the text you just read, Carl, the prayer of what kind of a man availeth much?
The righteous man.
And what is a righteous man?
One who doesn't sin.
And what is sin?
Disobedience to God's commandments.
The righteous man, then, is one who obeys God, or in other words, one who does what God wants him to do. Such a man's prayer availeth much.
That doesn't even seem quite right to me, that one has to obey God before his prayer will be answered.
At first glance, perhaps not, Carl. But look at it this way. There are two customers who each buy a refrigerator from the same store on the same day. Both customers make the same down payment, and their monthly payments are identical. One customer meets each payment promptly. When anything goes wrong, he makes an honest report to the store. He cooperates to the fullest extent. The other customer misses payments. He makes all kinds of complaints to the store. He gives the store trouble. Both customers run up against hard luck and appeal to the store for help. Which one would you help?
It wouldn't take me long to decide that.
About 1 second.
About half a second.
Again, what if Carl Jr. was utterly disrespectful to both of you? What if he disregarded everything you asked him to do? Suppose he was dishonest, disobeyed you, lied to you, and even stole money from you. And then one day he asks you to buy him a bicycle. He pleads and he begs. He even promises all sorts of things if you'll just buy him that bicycle. What would you do?
That's easy, too. I'd tell him that if he'd actually change his ways and start being a good boy, then his mother and I might get him a bicycle.
Isn't that exactly what God does when he says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much?
I guess it is, all right.
And if Carl Jr. absolutely refused to change his ways, would you turn him out of house and home and let him starve?
Hardly.
That's just the way our Heavenly Father feels about his erring children. Matthew 5:45.
I'll read it, Uncle Julius. Matthew 5:45. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust.
I'm beginning to see that God really is a father to us.
He wants to be. He will be, if we'll just let him.
If the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, it seems on the negative side that the sinful man's prayers avail little or nothing at all.
Therefore, it must be sin that separates us from the blessings we could have as God's children.
Isaiah 59:2 says practically that very thing.
Isaiah 59:2?
Yes.
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
Well, according to that, God doesn't even hear the prayers of a sinful man.
Sin is a terrible thing, Nettie. But to know God and love him is equally as wonderful as sin is terrible. When we know God, we can pray to him as a friend to friend and as son to father, and our prayers will be answered.
But how does one get to really know God, Uncle Julius?
There's a text that'll answer that, Nettie. John 8:19.
Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also.
So, to know God, we must first know his Son. 1 John 4:7-8 gives us the clue as to how to know Jesus and through Jesus the Father. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Well, that's simple enough.
Yes, all we have to do is love God, and we will know God. Have you a recipe for learning to love God?
Why does Carl Jr. love you?
Well, because we belong to him. We protect him, we provide for him, and he knows all those things.
The way I see it, we'd better begin to count our blessings and start realizing that God protects us and provides for us, and that he plays a very important part in our lives.
Yeah.
If you'll do those things, Carl, you'll learn to love God. You will know him, and your prayers will be answered.
How could I prove to God and the world that I do love him?
How does Carl Jr. show his love for you?
Oh, by obedience.
Consideration.
Enjoying our company.
Doing things for us.
Are those things too much for God to expect of us, to show our love for him?
I surely wouldn't think so.
Please read 1 John 2:4 and see what the Bible says about it.
All right, 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Have either of you noticed how often those two words, love and obedience, keep popping up in these studies?
I have.
Me too.
And if I didn't know better, Uncle Julius, I'd say that you believe in salvation through works.
But I don't. Salvation is by grace through belief.
Oh, I know that, Uncle Julius. It's just that on the surface, it might look like you believe in salvation through works.
Well, I certainly do not believe like some folks, Carl. And certainly the Bible does not bear them out. Some folks believe that because we're saved by grace and have been born into the family of God, we can forget all about loving God and keeping his commandments.
Some people believe that, Uncle
Julius. They surely do.
It seems to me that attitude is about as silly as it would be for Carl Jr. to think that he doesn't have to obey us merely because he's our son.
Well, I gather from all this that one who does not obey God does not love him. And if one does not love God, He certainly is not of God.
That is the negative side of what we've been talking about. The only true measuring stick of love is the Bible. We must look to the Bible for all truth. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law, to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them." Nettie, please read the next text. It's 1 John 3:21 and 22.
All right. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight."
There's that obedience again.
God very definitely connects answered prayer with obedience. In the same manner, God connects healing of the body with the forgiveness of sin.
Which brings us, I hope, to that story of healing you're going to tell us.
Shortly, Kyle, after about two more texts on prayer. The next one is on both prayer and divine healing, James 5:15.
James 5:15. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him."
One more text, and we'll close this part of the study. We have dwelt at quite some length tonight on obedience as an important ingredient to answered prayer. Another important ingredient is found in Mark 11:24.
Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them."
So, if we are obedient and loving children of God, and if we believe that our prayers will be answered, they will be answered. The very act of believing brings an answer. The reward of love and obedience is answered prayer. The perfect prayer, as we all know, is the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Have you been in the garden with Jesus, alone with the Savior in prayer? Did the angels of heaven come near you? Was Jesus awaiting you there? Have you been in the garden with Jesus? Have you walked with him, talked with him there? Have you been in the garden with Jesus, all alone with the Savior in prayer? Have you been in the garden with Jesus and prayed till the break of the day, and the glory of heaven's bright morning drove all of the darkness away? Have you been in the garden with Jesus? Have you walked with him there? Have you been in the garden with Jesus, all alone with the Savior in prayer?"
And now for the story. It's the story of Mr. and Mrs. Smith and their two children, Jeannie and Jackie. Mr. and Mrs. Smith are fairly typical people, except perhaps in one way, they both drink.
Why, of course we drink.
But you shouldn't, Joe. You know that.
Now, don't worry yourself about it, Doc. We're moderate drinkers.
We know when to stop drinking, Doc.
And moderate drinking never hurt anyone.
No.
Listen, Joe, liquor is poison. One drop in the body is bound to have an effect in some way or another.
We've been drinking for years, as you well know, Doc, and it hasn't hurt us yet.
Maybe it has, Joe, and you just don't know it. Maybe your vital organs are all poisoned.
Ah.
I wish you'd both let me give you complete physical checkups.
No, Doc, not now. Some other day, perhaps, huh?
I won't charge you anything.
Now, that's a very friendly gesture, Doc, but thanks. No thanks.
Here, Doc, here's a cigarette. Quit your worrying and enjoy a smoke.
Now, you know I never smoke.
Now, that's just the trouble with you, Doc. You never do anything to really enjoy life.
No.
I'm a physician. I know the harm intoxicants and tobacco smoke can do to the human system.
Not only
might it make your mind and body sluggish, but it can actually weaken your metabolism to the extent that an early death is possible through cancer or a dozen other killer diseases.
Scaring us won't help, Doc.
Well, at least I've tried.
Thanks.
I've been trying for years.
Why don't you give up trying, Doc? Can't you say we're hopeless?
I'll never give up, Joe. As long as there's liquor and tobacco, I'll continue to fight them.
Well, now, I tell you what we'll do, Doc. If and when either of us get sick, why, we'll send for you.
And that's a promise.
Okay?
I hope you never have to, but if you do, I'll be right here. Saying which, I guess I'd better go.
Oh, now, don't go rushing off, Doc.
Well, I have several calls to make yet tonight. No, no, sit still, Martha. I know the way out. Good night.
Good night, Doc.
Night, Doc. Drop in any time now.
And if you change your mind about those physical checkups, you know where to find me.
Okay, Doc.
He's trying to be our friend, Joe.
Yeah, Doc. He is our friend, too, Martha. And he means all right, too.
Maybe we should quit drinking and smoking.
Nonsense.
The truth is that I haven't been feeling too well lately, and
You're ill, Martha? Well, why didn't you tell me?
Oh, I'm not ill, dear, not really. I just feel, well, sort of slowed down and sluggish, like the doc said.
Well, maybe you had better get a physical checkup.
Oh, I don't feel that bad.
Well, at least we'd better stay home tonight, then,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, no, we promised we'd go to Carol's party, and we're going.
Oh, are you sure you feel well enough, too?
Of course I do. I'd better hurry, too, and get ready. We're supposed to be there in an hour.
Say, that was a good one. Let's drink to that. What do you say, huh?
Mr. Smith.
Oh, yes, Sarah?
Mrs. Smith's sick. She wants you right away.
Well, where is she, Sarah?
Well, she's in there. She's in the library.
Thanks, Sarah. I'll go right there. Martha.
Sorry, Joe, but I just couldn't help it.
It's all right, honey. I'll get you to the hospital right away.
No, Joe, please. Just take me home.
But the hospital would be better, Martha.
Please, Joe, home.
All right. I'll call the doc and have him there by the time we get there.
No, please, Joe, just take me home. I'll be all right after a night's rest.
Oh, whatever you say, dear. Sarah? Sarah? Get Mrs. Smith's wraps and help her to the side door, will you? I'll get the car. I'm taking her home.
Yes, sir, Mr. Smith.
Jeannie?
Yeah?
Are you asleep yet?
Are you?
I can't get to sleep.
Neither can I.
Shall we read another story out of the book?
Nah, let's talk.
All right. What about?
I don't know. Maybe Grandpa and Grandma.
What do you want to talk about them for?
I wish Mother and Daddy were Christians like Grandpa and Grandma are.
Why do you wish that?
Oh, I think it'd be fun to go to Sunday school.
How do you know it would? You haven't ever been to Sunday school.
I know it. I haven't ever been to church either, but I sure wish I could go.
It might be fun at that.
I wonder why we aren't Christians. I mean, why Mother and Daddy aren't.
I guess it's because they're too busy doing other things.
Yeah, such as going to parties.
And drinking and things like that.
Say, they're at a party right now, aren't they?
I guess so.
That's why no one's answering the phone.
Maybe I'd better answer it.
Okay.
Hello?
Jackie?
Yes, Daddy?
Now listen carefully, Jackie. Your mother's ill, very ill. I'm bringing her home.
Okay.
Now call Dr. Menton, Jackie, and have him come as quickly as he can.
Okay, Daddy.
You and Jeannie better get up and get dressed.
All right, Daddy. We will.
We'll be there in about 35 minutes, I guess. Goodbye now.
Goodbye, Daddy. Jeannie?
Who was it?
Daddy.
What do you want?
Mother's sick. Where'd he get up and dress and have... Oh, I forgot. I've got to call Dr. Menton. I'll do that while you're getting dressed.
Well, Martha, you aren't nearly as bad off as I thought you might be.
I told you I only felt a little weak and tired, Doctor.
Just what is the matter, Doc?
You want the truth?
Why, of course.
Well, I think it's a rundown condition due mostly to... Well, in the slowing down of the various body functions because...
Because of liquor and smoking, Doc?
Frankly, yes.
All right, Doctor, I'll stop drinking and smoking if that's your prescription.
I'm sure that it will hasten your recovery.
Very well, Doctor, I'll quit. No more liquor and no more cigarettes.
Well, Martha, dear, how do you feel this morning?
Not well enough, I'm afraid, to get up, Joe.
Then you just stay right there in bed. Why, the children and I will make it all right. And how do you feel this morning?
No better, I'm afraid. I'm still no better. Oh, I feel terrible, Joe.
I think I'd better call the doctor, Martha.
All right, Joe.
You've got to go to the hospital, Martha, for a complete checkup. Immediately. Well, Joe, there's only one thing to do. Operate.
All right, Doc. If you say so.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Can you see it, Doctor?
Yes, Doctor.
That isn't it.
Very bad.
Nothing we can do. Agree?
Perfectly, Doctor. She's beyond human help.
Close up the incision, Doctor. I'll clean up and talk to the husband. He'll want to know.
Very well, Doctor. Sponge.
Sponge.
I thought you'd want to know the truth, Joe, and...
Thanks. Thanks, Doc.
Cancer is a terrible thing, Joe. Hers was the kind that... That can't be operated on.
Caused by drinking and smoking, Doc?
Well, there's no absolute proof of that, Joe, but it's strongly suspected that the smoking does cause cancer.
Oh, my poor Martha.
In a few days, she can go home.
Yes, home. Home to die.
There, Mother. A brand new radio from Jeannie and me.
Oh, thank you, children.
We love you. That's why we got it for you.
Yeah, and we want you to enjoy yourself before you die. And we thought
Jeannie,
that maybe if...
keep still.
I forgot.
It's perfectly all right, children. I suspected as much the way everyone's been acting.
Oh, Mother, we don't want you to die.
Please don't die, Mommy.
Try not to, dear. If you children will promise to smile and be cheerful, will you?
We'll try to, Mother.
That's my sweet children. Now, how about turning on my new radio?
Okay. What station do you want to listen to, Mama?
Oh, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference, dear. Just any station at all.
Here's one. I'll get another station.
No, I'll listen to that one, Jackie.
I thought you don't like church music.
That's beautiful.
Have faith in God, Creator, Father, Lord. Have faith in God, Him praise and love afford. Have faith in God, forevermore adored. Have faith, dear friend, in God. We hope this transcribed program of ours has served to bring spiritual strength today. And we invite you to join us again next week, same station, same time, for another broadcast brought to you by the Voice of Prophecy. Every Thursday is prayer day at the Voice of Prophecy, special prayer day, worldwide prayer circle day. Join us in prayer, especially on that day. And now we say, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Jackie, where's your father?
Out in the garage.
Get him, will you please?
Okay, Mother.
I'm going to write to the Voice of Prophecy radio program, Joe.
Well, suits me, but why are you writing to them?
To ask them to pray for me.
Pray for you?
Pray for God to heal me, Joe.
Oh, now, Martha, really.
Why not? Jesus healed the sick when he was here. Why can't he do it now?
Well, I suppose he could, but you, dear, why, you've never even before thought about religion.
I doubt if the thief on the cross had thought about religion before either. But Jesus forgave him anyway, and he'll be in heaven.
Well, I surely have no objections to your writing to whomever you please, Martha.
Will you write the letter for me, Joe?
Of course, my dear.
Let me write it for you, Mother.
All right, Jackie. Run, get pen and paper.
You say Martha wrote to the Voice of Prophecy?
Yes, Doc.
But, Joe, you shouldn't have let Martha do it.
Why not? What harm can it do?
It may arouse her hope, and there is no hope.
Well, I'm not too sure there isn't hope, Doc.
Well, I operated on her myself. I should know.
Oh, I'm sure there's no hope from a human standpoint, but she...
Now, Joe, certainly you don't believe in divine healing.
Well, maybe I do, Doc. You see, I know Martha pretty well. When she drinks, she drinks. And when she quits, she quits. I think God knows how sincere Martha is. She openly admitted that her condition is due entirely to her own violations of the laws of health. And she promised God that she'd obey him in all things if he would only heal her. You know, I think that God knows she means exactly what she says. And he might. He just might heal her, Doc.
I still think you shouldn't have allowed her to get so hopeful.
Well, I couldn't help it, Doc. You see, Martha knows that I was raised in a Christian home. Why, she's heard my father tell of answered prayer. And I couldn't tell her not to hope. In fact, I've almost begun to hope myself.
When is this healing supposed to take place?
The Voice of Prophecy prayer circle meets every Thursday, I think.
Tomorrow? Well, tomorrow will tell a tale.
My dear, this is Thursday. How do you feel?
Better, Joe. Much, much better.
Enough better to get out of bed and walk?
Oh, I know what you're thinking, Doctor. But God doesn't always cure so quickly. Healing doesn't necessarily have to be sudden to be real.
Then you still think you will be healed?
I already am healed, Doctor. And just as soon as I regain my strength, I'll get out of bed and I'll prove it to you. Well, children, get my house coat. I'm going to sit up for a while today.
I'll get it. Oh, Mother, you are going to get well. You are.
Of course I am, dear.
Then are we going to be Christians and go to Sunday school and church like Grandma and Grandpa do?
We're going to study the Bible and find out all that God wants us to do. And then we're going to do it.
Here's your house coat, Mother.
All right, dear. You know, children, everything's going to be different. I'm different. I put my trust in God. I used to be afraid of death and the grave, but not anymore. And it's because I put my complete trust in God.
God loves us, doesn't he, Mother?
God loves everyone, Jeannie. That's why I'm not afraid of death anymore. Right after I listened to the Voice of Prophecy program last week, my fears completely disappeared.
It's time for the Voice of Prophecy program again.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's past time, Jackie. Turn it on quickly. We can hear part of the program. for the last few days, a wonderful song that I used to know has been ringing in my mind. How does it go now? There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Oh, there's my song now.
There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home.
Yes, Mrs. Smith believed that she'd been healed. And later, when she insisted on a complete and thorough examination, the doctors could find no trace of the cancer. She was healed. God had taken away the cancer. Many years have passed since then. Mrs. Smith is now a strong, healthy woman. She is a faithful member of the Voice of Prophecy Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And do you know what?
What, Uncle Julius?
Mrs. Smith's favorite song to this day is, guess what?
There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home.
Together his loved ones home.
Safe home.
Together his loved ones home. There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes.
Together his loved ones home.
There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes.
There'll be songs of greeting when Jesus comes.
And a joyful meeting when Jesus comes. Together his loved ones home.
Together his loved ones home.
Together his loved ones home.
There'll be no dark valley when Jesus comes.
Together his loved ones.
God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He loves you. He loves me. And if we will just believe in him, love him, obey him, and place ourselves, our lives, problems, troubles, everything in his care, he is well able to and will take care of us. Everything that happens will be for our good. Trust him, friend, won't you? Obey him. Love him. The reward of love and obedience is answered prayer. Good night.
Blessed book, precious book. On thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to